Good morning. Can we hear me?
Yeah.
All right, good. Okay. So before I get started, I just want to take a minute to say a couple of things. And first of all, just how extremely proud of our youth I am today. If you didn't know, you'll find out today that I'm a big softy. So when my voice gets like this, it's because I'm just, that's how I am. So, but I'm extremely proud of our youth. They did such a great job, and I'm so happy that our church takes the time and the and makes a priority of teaching our youth and teaching our young people. As a church, we're called to do that, and I'm just so thankful that I am able to serve in a place that does that. So as we begin today, if you have a copy of the scripture, please open up to Acts. We're going to be in the 18th chapter, starting in verse 24. As you're opening, and if you don't have a copy of the scripture, please feel free to use one of the pew Bibles that's in front of you. As you open, I just want to take a minute to kind of lay the foundation of where we are. Paul is at the very beginning of his third missionary journey, and at this point he has just left Antioch and is going throughout the regions of Galatia, and there's a key word there that I don't know how to pronounce, so I'm not going to try. But he's going throughout those regions teaching and preaching the gospel. Now, Luke takes a minute and steps away from what Paul is doing, and he introduces us to a man by the name of Apollos. You may remember that name because we were introduced to him in Paul's letter to the Corinthians just a few months ago when we were going through that book. So let's go ahead and read in Acts 18, verse 24 and following. It says, "Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross into Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus." So we see that Luke introduces us to Apollos by first telling us who he is. He was a Jew from the city of Alexandria. Now, something important about Alexandria is that it was an intellectual city. It was a city of many great scholars at the time. It even had a library with over 700,000 books. Now, that may not seem like a lot today because we've got, you know, the Library of Congress that has, I don't know, somewhere around 30, I don't know, some, it's like 36 million or so books, which is just crazy. But at the time, that was a lot of books, over 500,000 books. So he was from a place of intellect. He grew up learning the scriptures as a Jewish man, and he grew up learning and studying. So I want to take a minute now to pray before we go any farther. So pray with me. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to come and bring your word this morning. Lord, I pray that as I speak, Lord, it would be your words, and it would be you, Lord, speaking through me, Lord, and that all of our hearts would be open and our minds would be open to learning what you have for us today, Lord. Amen. Lord, so further we're told about Apollos' intellect and his learning, where Luke tells us that he was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. Now that word eloquent not only means that he was able to speak properly or fluently or powerfully, but that he was learned and skilled in speaking. And also that the word competent goes a little bit beyond just knowing the scriptures and understanding the scriptures, but using them powerfully. In verse 25, we see that Apollos taught the things of God accurately. Today we're going to look at the importance of studying scripture and what it means for us today. We're going to see how teaching the scripture I'm sorry, studying the scripture allows us to speak accurately about the things of God. Also how it allows us to be open to further teaching and correction in the scriptures. And lastly, how in studying scripture, we can help others. In verse 25, it says, he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. So Apollos was speaking accurately. It doesn't say that he was speaking inaccurately. It says that he didn't know, or he only knew the baptism of John, but he still spoke accurately. So what about us? That's a question we're going to ask several times this morning. What about us? What does that mean for us? Does it mean that we as Christians ought to be as studied as Apollos, that we ought to all go off and get theological degrees or doctorates and so forth? And I would answer that in two ways, and that's yes and no. Primarily no, that we're not all called to a teaching or preaching ministry, so we don't have to stress out and go, oh my gosh, I don't have my theology degree yet. But in the same token, I think yes, we are expected to know the scriptures, to study the scriptures, so that we can rightly and accurately handle the word of God. In Acts 17, verse 11, we see Luke talking about the church in the brothers in Berea, and he says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." So we see that as Christians, we ought to study the scriptures so that we can test them against what we're being told. These people were learning from Paul. They weren't learning from some unknown person. They were learning from Paul, but they still took the word eagerly and tested it against the scriptures that they might know that it was consistent with what God had already told them. In the same way, we are to do the same. We hear things all the time. There are podcasts and videos and conferences and stuff all over the place that we can learn about God. And those are great places to go, but we always must study them against the scriptures. We must test them to make sure that they are accurate and consistent with what God has given us. In the same way, we ought to study the scriptures so that when we teach, when it's our opportunity to teach, and we all will teach, that we can do it accurately. Often we can shy away and say, well, I'm not a teacher, I don't teach Sunday school, or I'm not a pastor, or I don't teach Bible class anywhere, but we're all teachers. As parents, we're teachers, we teach our children. As church members, we have the responsibility to teach one another. So we will all teach, so we ought to study the scriptures that we might do so accurately. Secondly, in verse 26, it says that he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him and explained to him the way of God more accurately. So we saw in verse 25 that it said that he spoke the word accurately, but he knew only the baptism of John. So in studying, I found that it doesn't seem so much that there was anything inaccurate about what Apollos was saying, but that he needed to be taught further. A lot of the commentaries I read said that the deficiency was probably in his knowledge of Jesus. Clearly he knew Jesus because he taught the things about Jesus accurately. But most scholars say that it was probably a matter of Christ's death and resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit where he was lacking. So we see that in Apollos' learning and studying and being willing to study the scriptures, Priscilla and Aquila were able to take him and teach him more accurately, to teach him further about the things of God. Being open to study allows us to have a mindset of learning and allows us to be able to accept teaching and correction in our lives. In Romans 12:2 that we read just a moment ago, it says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Often I think as Christians we have this idea, or others have this idea of Christians, that when we become saved, when we come to saving faith in Christ, that there's this download process, that God gives us everything that we ever need to know about being a Christian and about talking and speaking and teaching the Word of God. Now, if you have been a Christian for any period of time, you'll know that that's not true. There's so much that we don't know from the outset. We're given what we need in the time, but there's a process, a lifelong process of learning that we go through. In the same way that an infant doesn't walk out of the hospital, there's your first point, they don't walk. They don't walk out of the hospital teaching or doing mathematics or speaking. There's a learning process. And as new creatures in Christ, we go through a process of learning. I think John MacArthur said it probably way more concisely than I could in his commentary on Romans, when he says this: the Holy Spirit achieves this transformation by the renewing of the mind, an essential and repeated New Testament theme. The outward transformation is effected by an inner change in the mind, and the Spirit's means of transforming our mind is the Word. So we see that there's a difference between the renewal and the transformation. The word transformation in the Greek was the same word used by Matthew in Jesus' transfiguration in front of his disciples. It was an outward transformation. It wasn't just an inward thing. It was an outward transformation. But how was our outward transformation achieved? By the renewing of our minds. Sometimes we can go to two extremes. We can say we need to study and study and study the Scriptures, and that's great and that's awesome. And then sometimes we can go over here and we can say, we just need the Holy Spirit. We just need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give us what we need. And both of those things are true. And just as John MacArthur said, it's the Holy Spirit renewing our minds by the use of the Word. So as believers, we need to undergo this process and be open to this process of renewing our minds, that we might be transformed on the outside as a witness to those around us. And that brings us to our last point, in that in studying the Scriptures, we can help others, particularly those who believe, our brothers and sisters. In verse 27, it says, "And when he wished to cross into Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the Scriptures that the Christ was Jesus." So we see Apollos in this case went into Achaia, and he was able to refute the Jews. And in doing so, he was able to encourage the brothers around him. Now here it says that that he encouraged those who by grace had believed. So by teaching from the Scriptures and showing from the Scriptures who Jesus was and how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament Scriptures, they were able to see not only that what they had believed was true because the Holy Spirit had revealed that to them, but also that it was consistent with the Word of God. Likewise, we as a family, a church family, and as a body of believers in the global church, we ought to study the Scriptures so that when we speak, when we teach, we can encourage one another. We can show that, look, you're going through this or you're going through that. It's in the Scriptures. It is there to help you. And I feel like this is one thing that is of utmost importance. Oftentimes, we as a church rightly understand our commitment to one another and our commitment to growing each other in righteousness and leading each other in righteousness. But oftentimes, I feel that we forget to take the Scripture with us when we go. It is of utmost importance to not only encourage one another with a, "Hey, I'm there for you. Hey, we're there for you. Everything's going to be okay. Those things are right and those things are good." But if we don't take the Scripture, we're lacking. When a brother or sister is feeling lost and hurt, what better can we say than from the Scripture? In 2 Corinthians 4:16, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." or brother who's struggling with sin in Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If we don't go with the scriptures, we are lacking something. We can encourage a brother or a sister for a time, but the word of God is consistent, eternal. In the same way, we have a responsibility to bring each other up in righteousness, and part of that is correcting. And that doesn't stray from encouraging, because we know that correcting is part of encouragement. When we go to a brother or a sister who we notice is in sin, whether they recognize it or not, we ought to go with the scripture. We can go with our own ideals and our own ideas about what's right and what's wrong, but if we're not going with the scripture, quite frankly, we are wrong. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So it's with the scripture and only with the scripture that we ought to correct our brothers, that they might turn from their waywardness. But also be encouraged today. James 5:19 says, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. How encouraging is that? That we have a part in bringing brothers and sisters back. That our church, when we see somebody turning away, that we have not only the responsibility, but an opportunity to save them, save their soul from death. So today, we see that studying the scripture is vast importance, utmost importance today, that in doing so we might handle the word of God accurately, that we might be able to test and discern those things that we're taught, that we also are open to teaching and correction, that we would be open to learning more and going deeper in our understanding of who God is, and then also, and probably most encouragingly to us, that we might help others, we might help one another. So my challenge for you today is to look back at your life and see where you're studying the scripture. Today, I don't have time to go into how to study the scripture. That's for another time, but we can start by simply opening the word of God. Yes, we have the word of God fully inspired in front of us today. We're lucky in our, or blessed in our culture that we have Bibles out to wazoo, essentially. We've got extra Bibles in these pews sitting here every week. Most Christians, or even most people in our country, have a Bible in their home. So look at yourself. See where you lack in study. Change that about your life, that you might be able to speak the Word of God accurately. Be changed and deepened in your knowledge of who Christ is, and also be able to help one another. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to go into a time of ministry here. If you are sitting here today and you're thinking, what does it mean to be part of a church body? What is this whole bringing each other up in righteousness thing? Or you may not even know what it means to be a Christian this morning. I would encourage you, Pastor and I will both be standing here. We'd love to talk to you about what that means. So as I'm not sure who's playing, Caitlin, as Caitlin comes up this morning to play, I'm going to pray and then turn it over to someone far more qualified to close this out than I am. So pray with me, if you will. Lord Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for an opportunity to dive into your word, to just take even a short time here, Lord, to look at what your word has to say to us. Lord, I pray that we would each be open to the importance and responsibility of studying the scriptures. Lord, I pray that as we continue on today, Lord, that you would just change us, you would help these words to take hold of us, and that we would be able to be changed and transformed into people who look more like you. In your name we pray. Amen.